Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Welcome to the Social Flight Live podcast, an audio version of our live show, hosted every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern at socialflightlive.com. Social Flight is brought to you by Aspen Avionics, Avidyne, Continental Aerospace Technologies, Lightspeed Aviation, Tempest Aero Group, and Whip Air. And now, here's your host, Jeff Simon.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Social Flight Live. I'm Jeff Simon. We have a fantastic show for you this evening. Todd Simmons, President of Customer Experience of Cirrus Aircraft, is here. We're going to hear about his fascinating aviation story, give you a peek behind the curtain at Cirrus, and really be able to check out some truly revolutionary technology for general aviation piston aircraft. It's really fantastic. Before we get started here, just a few things. Everything is booming inside Social Flight as we approach Oshkosh, and that is only a few weeks away. I hope to see you there. Anyone that's going to be there, be sure to look us up. We're going to be walking around the show, giving away prizes, all sorts of cool things at the show. And of course, you can find out everything happening around the country, around the world, and of course at Oshkosh, all in at socialflight.com and then the Social Flight free mobile apps. Be sure to check all that out. We also have many courses that are available through our FAA learning system. It's all there, destinations, you name it, within Social Flight. And the last thing is our Fly to Win Challenge. And that we just gave away a Lightspeed Delta Zulu headset on June 1st. And we are now giving away an Aspen E5 electronic flight instrument on August 1st. So be sure to check that out. All you have to do is check in to win on the mobile app at any airport. You just grab your local airport, and you're going to be able to see all sorts of cool stuff going on there. So lots and lots of stuff going on. You can check all that out on socialflight.com. And again, please feel free to go and chime in, make sure that everything's working here. Apparently we had an issue earlier with audio, but that certainly should be better now. So with that, I'd like to say tonight's broadcast is brought to us by Continental Aerospace Technologies. We fly behind a Continental engine and recently upgraded to their new cylinders as well. Continental has a newly expanded factory training program, and it was down there where I recently met Todd Simmons as I hosted Continental's 120th anniversary celebration in Mobile, Alabama. And I was absolutely blown away by his family story, his connection with general aviation, and the groundbreaking safe return technology that Cirrus recently debuted with the G7. So really, really amazing stuff. Todd is president of customer experience at Cirrus, which means that he oversees nearly everything you can imagine, including sales, marketing, service and support, flight training, flight operations, aircraft delivery, and oversight of the Vision Center in Knoxville, Tennessee. Todd is no newcomer to the general aviation industry, and prior to Cirrus, Todd worked at Delta Airlines and at Cub Crafters, where he led sales and marketing efforts and later presided over the company at Cub Crafters. Todd's an active instrument-rated commercial pilot with a Vision Jet type rating and over 4,000 flight hours in his logbook. When he's not cruising in the flight levels in his Vision jet, Todd can be found backcountry flying with his pilot brother and now his son Clay, the newest pilot, carrying on the family aviation legacy. I am thrilled to have him here with us tonight. Please welcome to Social Flight Live, Todd Simmons. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great tonight, Jeff. Thanks for that warm welcome, and thanks to the live audience that's taking time to join us tonight. This is quite a privilege to be with you and with everyone online.
I am really, really grateful. I have to tell you, it was such a joy to meet you down in Mobile and to hear your story down there. And all I could think about as you were going through that part of kind of your presentation to the group that had gathered from literally around the world down there in Mobile was how I needed to share this story with such a wider audience. It's really fascinating. Can you take me through some of that? Bring our audience through what this family dynamic that you come from.
Well, yes, I will do that. And thank you. And I'm the luckiest guy here to be from the family that I'm from on both sides of my family, both sides, my mother and my dad. And so to get to tell a little bit of that story is pretty neat. Before we get to some of the very cool stuff happening at Cirrus, and probably starts with my granddad on my dad's side, a B-26 pilot. And I keep a picture on my desk of when he's probably 22, 23 years old. And I think he's standing there in front of his steerman at the time at Maxwell Army Air Corps Base. Of course, it would later become the Air Force. And that was in the very end of the war. But as a pilot, and that's not what he necessarily did after that, at that time he spent there, but boy, he started an impact and a legacy that he surely has to be proud today. And if he's listening in tonight, wherever he is, he probably would know, because his three sons also, aviation was part of their lives. The youngest of those three, and there he is in the lower left-hand corner of that picture there, the youngest was Bill, a Sea King, a sub-hunter pilot in the Navy. And then the middle son, name is Uncle Bob. Of course, this is my uncle, and just an incredibly prolific career. An engineer from Georgia Tech, which is also where I went to school, and then a long career in general aviation. My goodness, I think it included Citation, Gulfstream, but the prolific part was really at Beech Aircraft, up to and including a leadership position in engineering on the Beech Starship, and concluding a career on the Joint Strike Fighter program down in Fort Worth. So Bob, and then finally my dad in the Army, an air surgeon, during approximately the Vietnam era. And that was just my dad's side, and I get the benefit of all of them in front of me. Then on my mother's side, although I did not know him, my granddad, crop duster, aviation was very much a part of their lives. And boy, that's a pretty cool picture of him. And I sure wish I had gotten to know him. Went by the nickname Doc. And I'm not sure what airplane he's in there. But it was his kids, particularly my mom and my mother's brother. His name was Jerry. And the first flight that I can actually remember, and of course, that iconic J3 Yellow Cub, and I probably get the date wrong, maybe late 70s, perhaps early 80s, that I get a first flight in an airplane off of what was to them a family grass airstrip. And I had been smitten with the bug just the same. And I guess not only does the apple not fall far from the tree, but it's in our blood, and that continues on today. You've already mentioned it. My brother is a pilot. My younger brother, I'm the middle of three, just like with my dad's family. My older brother actually soloed, and now my son, Clay, as you mentioned, is not only in the aviation business, but he's a pilot as well. So I consider myself blessed and fortunate, to say the least. The privilege that I have, that the part of my life that aviation is, I couldn't be more fortunate.
I absolutely love that. And this picture, I have to say, this has got to be one of the most iconic pictures. This is a picture that, like, everyone, I want this picture in my hangar. Like, this is a picture everybody, it doesn't matter if I'm not related. I want to pretend I am. This picture just belongs everywhere.
Well, my mom and her family have to be proud to see that tonight. And boy, the world has sort of come full circle. And there's a couple of other people that I'm close to, Jerry's son and daughter. The one that I flew in the J3 Cub with, and of course, that was his dad, too. So who knew that all the way back then that we'd be staring at that tonight, and the impact that aviation would have.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
From them would bring us this far. As I said, when you and I were at Continental, I'm living proof of how big this aviation impact and how big this aviation world can be. And I guess either way, I would characterize what these folks before did. I consider myself lucky to be, quite frankly, standing on the shoulders of giants. These people left aviation better than they found it, you know, by any objective measure. And that's the part I take from them in my work at Cirrus and my passion for flying outside and my passion for flying with my family. We get the privilege, but quite frankly, the responsibility of leaving aviation better than we found it. And that, quite frankly, drives me every day.
That is so powerful. I think it's something that I live my life by, and I admire anyone who uses that as their mission to take this thing that we are all so passionate about and try to lead it a little better kind of than you found it, and be grateful for the things that so many that came before you left for you as well. And I want to show, like, this is, you've got a few more images here that are your story, because I don't want your story to go by too quick, because it's quite powerful. So tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, that I mentioned a moment ago that my mother's brother, Jerry, and that's his J3 Cub. And there's no doubt people listening tonight, you know, arguably the most iconic airplane in all of U.S. general aviation. And I will not forget him sitting me in the front of that. And he said, "You got it." And my goodness, if I was 9 or 10, I would be surprised. And I said, "Got what?" And little did I know that he was sitting back there and had just a fantastic pilot with a prolific career during the Vietnam War flying A-4s. And even more so after that with Delta Airlines. But they're south of Atlanta in the strip, later became known as Big T. My mother's maiden name is, and the family name was Tinsley. And so like so many, here we are flying off the grass strip. And though I've come so far in aviation today that there's so many folks that might not even appreciate that, it's just this most fundamental, just this core of flying and who our family is and what we represent. And these are a few pictures from, like I said, way back then. I'm going to date myself some, but might be in the 40 or 50 years ago range, you know, in the timing of these. Now we're coming forward just a little bit. I was lucky enough after graduating, like I said, and getting out in the workforce and saving every penny I had and then some and borrowing all the rest, a 7DC champ. And there's me, nothing's wrong. Also, Continental engine, as you mentioned there, just changing the oil, just checking the oil on that one. And I got to own that. That was the first airplane I owned, and I got to sort of keep on going. Who knew that, as I like to say, that tube and fabric airplanes, even at Cirrus today, they all start as fabric, right? So it's funny, things are more the same than we might think.
I love that. You don't usually think of something like that. Here's some more. I love this.
I'm definitely dating myself a little bit, but that's my son. Gosh, his age might be in weeks or just early months there. And we covered his ears, and there was a trip in a Bonanza, and Bonanza or Baron. I don't remember which one that was. And it was funny. I was back for the Continental thing that you and I were talking about. I had to look back in the archives. I hadn't remembered that one, but little did I know that my firstborn son, we talked about him already tonight, Clay, that's him. And he's not going to have remembered that flight, but he flew his first airplane flight a long, long time before I ever did. So that's what that's a picture of.
Love that.
And here we are today, you know, this incredible privilege that I get. And although that one's a few years back, we had this thing to do with the family that whenever we're there, we snap the proverbial selfie. And there they all are, all five of us. And like I said, I don't think I could have been more fortunate. For the past really 20, 25, almost 30 years, that personal aviation being the part of our life that it is, and particularly Cirrus, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute, we've been able to let that be for transportation and enabled us to experience things as a family that we're really just so incredibly grateful for. But every now and then we snap that picture, and there's probably one or two in here of the, like I said, the proverbial hold the camera out and take the selfie. And
yeah,
my kids watching. I'm probably not even doing it right, but that's what these are. Coming forward a little bit on Clay. And then more recently, that's actually my wife and I just heading down. Actually, that was on the way down, and I showed that night at Continental from, hey, that's just a few hours ago that we get to jump in the airplane and let it provide this incredible regional transportation machine that it is. So what an incredible privilege to do that as often as we get to.
I absolutely love that. I mean, and you know, I'd like you to just talk for 1 minute before we really dive into technology and Cirrus and all this about that background that you had going back to Cub Crafters, because, you know, I think there is an easy tendency in this industry, as on one hand, we are all passionate about aviation. That said, we're all looking for support. We're looking for community. And as part of that, we often get segmented into the Cirrus community, the Beechcraft community, the backcountry community, things like that, which can be isolating also, and can seem exclusive, especially when you start getting to something that is as polished and new as Cirrus is and things like that. And so I really do think it's important for people to understand where you come from and how you feel like there's that connection through that. When someone goes to Oshkosh and they see this absolutely gorgeous, polished event, that it's not like, well, that's just the Cirrus guys, right? Because you don't come just from that world.
I really appreciate you saying that. I am a prop head at heart, and if you didn't know that, you do now after the past couple of minutes of sharing, you know, learning to prop that J3 Cub by hand and then do the same thing with that champ, that 7DC champ. So I couldn't be more of a prop head, and you know, that's that almost fundamental. I understand the why and the how and the foundation of where this whole thing has come from, and dare I say, with the tail airplanes, about using my feet too. So you're right that, you know, at Cirrus, you do see something that is quite polished and quite refined. And the fact is, I just, the privilege that I have of being a small part of a very capable team that does that. But I think in my being there and so many colleagues that I have that also have an aviation background, we haven't forgotten from where we've come from. And we haven't understood all the pieces that get us where. So while you might see that end result and that refined product in Cirrus, I think it's so very important. And I like what you said that, and you heard me say this when we were together, you know, a couple months ago, that, boy, not almost ever thinking is this thing as competition. Boy, there's not enough of us, as we all know, but my goodness, when we're all together, we're still a very small group relative to, you know, whether it's the U.S. population or the global population that enjoys and is so passionate about this thing called personal aviation and flying. And so I think being in this all together and having that support and amplifying where we are the same, not where we're necessarily different. And as you know that, and you heard me say this, I said it that night and I'll say it again right now. We're less concerned about which airplane you choose, but just choosing to be in. Quite frankly, the rest will take care of itself. When more of us are participating and more of us are engaging and more of us are reducing the friction and the barriers to entry to aviation, we all collectively win. Every company wins, including Cirrus. And that's the way we look at it. In fact, as strong as what we'll talk about in a moment, the mantra of safety and our DNA and our ethos at Cirrus about the way we think about the airplanes, what I've just shared with you is equally as strong, which is, again, when more people come in, when more people can engage and participate, and I'm stating the obvious, whether it's in insurance rates, in premium, in financing, in safety, when more people are in, flying is simply better.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
And like I said, I'm privileged to be at Sirius to try to lead some of that effort. But I oftentimes will tend to want to have less conversation, and we can quite frankly shy away from the competitive part. It's almost the opposite of that. Let's all get in this tent together. That's how we win at this thing.
Yeah, I think that's always the challenge, right? Is you want to take pride in what you've accomplished. You want to have identity around the whatever niche of aviation or type of plane you fly or the success that your company is having within that group. And yet at the same time, as you want to celebrate all that, we have to figure out how we can continue to say that door is actually open, though. It's not a velvet rope keeping everybody else out, that we're all patting ourselves on the back. And I'd love to hear more about that from you, because we're about to kick into safety and a lot of new technology that Cirrus is leading the charge on in a way for piston aircraft that is totally revolutionary. But I don't want everybody to get that sense that this is just something that's only for these folks or only for someone that can afford new G7 Plus. This is a change that's going to trickle down just like there are other aircraft in the world, including experimental now, that have chutes. Like it, you guys are leading this, but I don't think you're leading it in a way, not knowing you, that is meant to destroy the rest of aviation and only celebrate people who are serious.
I couldn't agree more that, you know, we're glad to be in that leadership position, but sort of like some comments we've made earlier just this evening, I think with that comes great responsibility, great opportunity, and great responsibility. And I think the responsibility that we have from that is showing what aviation can be. I think we would probably all in some level agree that sitting still is not the answer. Being stagnant in aviation, and we're at a time when the technology that's coming in, if we can sort of own that leadership position and others can join us in that, you've hit the nail on the head. That trickling down through the rest of it, the more that proliferates. And while, yes, you know, we think of today's airplane, and when you talk about the price of new today, you know, here we have produced now more than 10,000 SR-22X airframes, and now more than 600 Vision jets. The point being, we're approaching 11,000 airplanes that are now available almost at every price point. So, for example, every single one of those airplanes has a full airframe parachute as standard. So imagine that. You don't have to buy the new one today to get that parachute on the airplane, the very first one we ever made. And so I think that what you said is exactly right. We see it more as an opportunity to lead, an opportunity to demonstrate to not just the aviation industry, but beyond that, the adjacent industries and even the population at large, how efficient, how productive, and how safe personal aviation can be. And when we do that, I think that pie becomes bigger. You know, looking at the world through abundance instead of constraint is the way that we think about that. The more people that can join us on that, trust me, we welcome that in everything that we do.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Obviously, Dale Klapmeyer was here on our show in the past, and we've talked to him quite a bit. Tell me a little bit as we lead into that safety and that technology. One of the things Dale focused on, and I know is close to your heart as well, is Cirrus is not exclusively focused on the pilot and their experience flying. And that's a challenge, I think, that's a challenge kind of we face as an industry, right? If you want to be able to go buy a plane and be a pilot, you want your spouse to want to go with you. You want your family to be comfortable going with you. You to enjoy this passion, we need to bring everyone along in their comfort zone. And Dale spent quite a bit of time talking about the history of Cirrus when it comes to that. Tell me a little bit about that and then where you're now going with the G7 Plus.
You got it. I'm so privileged to have met Dale, and my goodness, now, you know, over three decades ago. And what started as a friendship relationship evolved into so much more than that. And who knew that I would be playing the role at Cirrus Eddie today, and that's really because of Dale. But as you said, Dale and his brother Alan, back in Baraboo, Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Dells area, you know, two brothers literally in a barn, and they had a dream and a passion that aviation could be different. And the key thing, as you well know, is not just composite construction and sort of not just the comfort and efficiency in the airplane, but safety was one of those. And you hit the nail on the head. They knew at that time that airplanes, while some were fast, almost all of them were pretty complicated. And some of the fears from the outside looking in were warranted around safety, and that's going to prevent more people from coming in. So they made a commitment, and it was an incredible one. And they'll tell you, as Dale did, you know, that the extra time, effort, money, and energy to certify an airplane with this thing called the Cirrus Airframe Parachute System. It's funny, sometimes I still get asked by people that, wait, are all of you wearing a parachute in the airplane? The answer is no. The plane is wearing a parachute, but in that worst case scenario, that catastrophic scenario that is so unusual, you have one more option uniquely on a Cirrus. That's before I get to the new one to talk about tonight. And you have to credit those two brothers for staying their conviction and their commitment to get there, because they recognize when all the passengers and the family and the business colleagues and the friends that you want to bring flying to experience the joy and the passion that we all do, they want to be confident, they want to be comfortable, they want to feel secure in the airplane, because we as pilots can feel that. We're the ones, if you will, in direct control, as sometimes we say, sitting in the left front seat, but they're not. But we want them to come along and experience in that. And so Dale and Alan understood that very sort of qualitative component, and they made that be part of everything they were thinking. In fact, they even learned, we could go all the way back to what was a kit airplane, the VK-30 that started the company. And it was that sort of realization from that experience, and in some ways the complexity and difficulty in that airplane, to the SR series and this iconic thing. So it wasn't just the engineering and the regulations and the drawing and all of that, and there they are back in that time frame with a previous airplane the family owns that's sort of shaping their thinking. But there they are saying, we're going to do this better, and there they are in the barn right there. And the SR series was the manifestation of that, and who knew that that would become the best-selling airplane that's become now for the 23rd consecutive year, I think for exactly those reasons. And there's that thing that, you know, the plane with the parachute. I know here we are with the SR series approaching 18 million total flight hours. I think that picture right there may be the original sort of drawing or design of the SR. But in that previous picture you showed with the parachute, 18 million flight hours. And as we sit here this evening together, 274 people have been safely returned to their families because of that parachute system, over 136, as we say, CAPS events. So there are 274 people here tonight that we're grateful for, that without those two brothers' commitment, without that technology on the airplane, the likelihood is they would not be here. It's as simple as that. So they were right about that. And I think they were game changing in their thinking, although they might not have known that then. And while we don't have time to get in all of it tonight, the toil and the energy and the commitment and the grit that they showed to get that to the market under just every difficulty you can imagine. You know, we, like I said, when I say that we're standing on the shoulders of giants, my family is certainly one of them for me personally, but absolutely those two brothers, there's an entire industry standing on their shoulders. And we're sort of the beneficiaries of that today. And now we've got to take it further, which I think is what some of the rest of the conversation is about tonight.
Yeah. And the last thing before we go into that I really do want to also address, I had mentioned, you know, your back, kind of background, some of the side of what you do is a different type of flying. And I'm curious what your experience in backcountry, in coming from Cub Crafters, what that brings to this equation before we get real technical here.
You know, I think it goes back to maybe something we said earlier. You know, the time that I get to spend in backcountry flying is probably almost the heart or the core of why flying matters so much. And this picture almost sums it up. Yes, I love the ones of the one in the meadows, and those were the Sawtooth Mountains right outside of Stanley in that previous picture. And man, just an airplane can, those airplanes that you see in that line behind us there, can take us to places only an airplane can take us. And in this particular case, there's my son Clay standing in the back of that picture, and he and his buddy Jeff in the back right of that. They built one together. But what you see in that picture is the heart of this conversation, and that is the bringing us together and the connection and the world we're getting experience that way is as important as the airplanes themselves. And these airplanes get to take us to these incredible places. That's one thing. And I'm going to come back to that, to Cirrus, in that as much as Cirrus for its technology is well known, and we just talked about that with the jet, excuse me, the parachute, we are a company of big ideas. And of course, an airframe with a full airframe parachute is a big idea. And I'm going to connect this to this picture in a moment. And a single engine V-tail jet, like the one I'm standing next to right now, that can land itself with the push of a button, that's a very big idea. But this other idea we have at Cirrus that it's, I think, as big as those two combined, is something that we've labeled the Cirrus Life. And that means it's about how the airplane can enable your life. It's how it connects you to other people, like you see in this picture. It's how it can connect you to family, to colleagues, to small business, to regional travel. And there's a part of actually the backcountry piece of that that's illuminated that to me. At the same time, the sort of simplest, if I can say, a little bit seat of the pants, you know, the purity of flying, of feeling every part of the airplane, of using your feet, and the airplane can take you to only these grass strips that only these kinds of airplanes can take you. Those two things have connected. So the kind of flying that is, I think, has shaped a little bit who I am and shaping Cirrus. And at the same time, I think realizing the value of human connection, Cirrus is in the business of mobility, of connecting people. And I think when you keep that high, that becomes our beacon, our North Star, if you will. That's how actually some of my background in backcountry flying and some of my background in connecting with people, and really the purity in my view of that kind of flying, has shaped some of the ways we think about Cirrus. And it really rolls into, again, that third big idea that in about the 2011, 2012 timeframe, I remember sitting with Dale and writing down, it sounds cliche, on a napkin, these words, we're all living the Cirrus Life. And that's as big as the technology itself, even though the airplanes are as state of the art and as contemporary and as advanced and the best built airplanes in the world, but this incredible team in Duluth, Minnesota and Grand Forks, North Dakota, and these things that we do. But it's the life our customers, owners and operators are leading that is actually the thing that carries us and has led us to be the best selling airframe in the world.
I love that. That certainly makes a lot of sense. So let's talk tech. Because the big announcement and what we opened with the video there is the idea, of course, of bringing an aircraft all the way down to a safe landing, not with a parachute, not when the aircraft itself has failed, but when there's a vulnerability or a challenge to the pilot. And I really want to emphasize during this how dramatic a difference it is to me as an AMP mechanic, an IA, that we're talking on a piston aircraft. Because let's be real clear here to everyone who thinks, okay, I've heard this before. Airliners can do 0-0 landings with their autopilots. Taking that forward to a jet and auto throttles is not something people have never heard of before. Doing it on a piston, that's new. That's radical. So tell me about this.
Well, you said it right. I said a moment ago that Cirrus is a company of big ideas, and we're going to tend to lean forward when it comes, especially when it comes to safety and the opportunity to do two things. To only airplane make it simpler to own and operate, and when it's simpler, it's safer. And that means incorporating these game-changing technologies onto the airplane. And I actually got to go back a minute and connect, when I say technology, all the way back to someone I mentioned early on here. We think of even the way our airplanes are made. This airplane I'm leaning on right now is all carbon fiber. Well, who knew my Uncle Bob that I talked about a moment ago and his leadership position in engineering on that Starship 40 some odd years ago, they would be paving the way for us. Boy, he didn't know it, and certainly I didn't know it then. But here we are with that technology of what the uniqueness that carbon fiber and prepreg composites can bring to airfoils and aerodynamic efficiency. Dale and Alan picked up on that. So there's an example back then of a technology coming to the airplane. Then we talked about the one with the airframe. By the way, it's Bob's birthday today. So Bob, if you're out there, happy birthday. And thank you for doing the work you did that gets us to here tonight to be able to tell this incredible story and for me to lean on this airplane while I tell it. And then we get all the way to today and what you just talked about, where you are exactly right. Incorporating a safe return, as we call it, or an auto land system, it is much more complex than a piston airplane. You've simply got some operating advantages in a turbine engine that you don't have in a piston airplane. And so really the magic in working with our partner Garmin has actually been both a mechanical and digital integration of two technologies into the SR airframe to, as you said, be the first and only to date certified airplane of having safe return or auto land system on the piston airplane. And it's now on the airplane that is indeed best selling. We're adding on where CAPS has brought us to, where, and so many other technologies, right? We're electronic stability and protection, emergency descent mode, a beveled firewall, 26G seats. You know, I could rattle off so many things that are core to us at Cirrus about technologies we've integrated into the airplane. And we always want to keep adding to that. And now here we are adding to that list, yet the latest one, this almost this incredible culmination of integrating both mechanical things on the airplane, smart servos on the airplane, and then software through our partner Garmin. In fact, so compelling, as you know, that this is a Collier Trophy award-winning technology, and rightly so, by Garmin just a few years ago. But as you said, the first to come to piston airplane, as we would say, I think, Jeff, that the first quarter century of what CAPS has meant to not only Cirrus, but to an industry, here we start the next one with this technology that simply allows that many more people to, as we say, give themselves permission to consider personal aviation and go, wait, I can see how that could work for me. And now I understand how safe and efficient it can be. That's how big safe return can be in a piston airplane. But all the applause goes to the engineers at Cirrus, the engineers at Garmin. These technicians, there are simply none better than work at Cirrus today. Again, like the toil of literally the example of Dale and Allen so many years ago before them, it may seem easy when it comes out the other end and you see that incredible video, but all the credit goes to this incredible team that I get the privilege to be a part of that makes these technologies become real on these airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a minute about that technology. And I want to start with sort of the basics of how.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
It works that you, as it has been implemented in turbine aircraft.
Yep.
So talk me through that, and then I'd like to get through to some of the real specifics that are incredibly impressive in making this happen on a piston. So tell me some of the key things, because we got to have navigation, communication, autopilot, all this stuff. Bring me through some of that.
That's right. So the way to think about the system is almost we're going to put ourselves a little bit in the cockpit, and we can use a turbine, and the piston's going to end up being the same way. But in a Cirrus, of course, there's a handle that's a little more accessible to the pilot and the co-pilot or the person sitting in the right seat. And that red handle, of course, is the CAPS parachute handle. But then a little bit behind that, and very accessible to every other person in the airplane, there's a red button, and you saw it in the video there. And that red button is made to be accessible for exactly the reason. And the simplest way to say it is, with a single push of that button, without any additional human intervention, the plane can bring itself to a complete and safe stop on a runway. So as we say, the age of autonomous is here. And now you ask that question, well, how does all that happen? Well, a couple things to think about the actual activation itself. The push of a button can do that. But believe it or not, there are even a couple of other things behind that. After a defined period of time of inactivity, of non-responsiveness by the pilot, it can activate that way, although it's very safe and that time is defined. There's not a partial or quick activation by any stretch. There's even another one. I mentioned electronic stability protection mode. If you are actually having a certain amount of time of being in that mode, I mean, that suggests some pretty severe type of flying. And if you are staying in that for a certain window, let's call that about 60 seconds within a larger couple of minutes window, something is very wrong. We know that can be an activation of it. So it's really amazing the passive ways, but by and large, it's going to be the push of a button. Now, to be clear, we actually haven't had with the system installed an actual event with the push of a button to bring the airplane completely to the ground. There is a grace period in pushing the button of approximately 10 seconds, let's call it, where you can deactivate. So we get asked that question, but there actually hasn't been one yet. There will be, there just hasn't been yet. So that's the way the system starts. From there, and how far you go in terms of the computer's gonna start doing a lot of work. And as you said, we've got to navigate to the airport, how much fuel is on board, where, how far can we go? Do we have to descend? Do we have to go up? Talking and squawking emergency codes. Air traffic control is now aware that we're in an emergency situation. We're clearing out airspace. And so all of that is happening through a heuristic in an incredibly short period of time. So now you have that piece working, let's call that the digital component. And then you get into the mechanical component, which is sort of the complexity that you're talking about. If you know in turbine airplanes, auto throttles are actually a bit more common today. Boy, that is not the case in pistons. To be clear, the auto throttle capability in this airplane is what we call emergency use only. It is not accessible to you and me in normal flying. This is an emergency operation. And so that auto throttle, the same with braking. We've got to effectively bring the airplane to a stop. So those are a couple of examples in the way that the throttles, in the way that flap activation, the way that brakes are activating. Now you're bringing in the mechanical parts of the airplane that's converging or integrating with that digital infrastructure on the airplane. That collectively is this complex system called emergency auto land. All you and I see, or maybe that passenger, is the push of a button in the back. That's why it's so great and spectacular and how capable that is. All of that is happening in incredibly short periods of time, all behind you, behind the scenes. The people on board the airplane are simply experiencing that the airplane is going to bring itself safely to that complete stop on the runway through everything I just described.
Let's break those down a little bit. If we talk about something like the navigation first, to what you're going to do, where you're going to go. This has been, I think, sort of a linear development we've seen over time throughout avionics. I came out of the avionics world. We've seen this in terms of, like, we started with how can you guide a pilot, right? How can you guide a pilot to where can you glide to? Where's the nearest? Well, the earliest stuff was where's an airport? Where's the nearest airport? And then, you know, where can you glide to? What other, you know, things are kind of on your, so figuring out where you can go. What does the system do in that regard? You mentioned something interesting, which was the fuel range. So it factors that into where you can reach to find an airport?
Yeah, you like to believe that that's not necessarily a factor. You know, we probably take for granted in the U.S. these upwards of, you know, 5,000 general aviation airports. And now that doesn't necessarily mean that every one of them is ideal. And, boy, I don't want to make sure I don't get ahead of myself here, but and there would be some folks both at Garmin and within our avionics engineering team in Duluth. So now you're going to push me to the very edge and said, well, that being said, I think that the at one level, both a complex heuristic that's running some of those calculations to say this is the most ideal airport. And it's exactly what you think, whether it's wind conditions, runway length, weight of the airplane, fuel on board the airplane, altitude, all of these things. It runs that calculation in an incredibly short period of time, but I think you just hinted at it. I almost like to think of this system as an integration of so many existing technologies. You know, we come from first the age of gyros, and then, you know, AHARS comes on board, and then, you know, without GPS, whether it's LORAN and VORs and pilotage and dead reckoning and all the things we know about, and here we are with GPS, it all seems so simple. Well, the capability on board the airplane, including flying and approach, and we know all of those things. And when you sort of break each one of those down, well, that's not so complicated. Well, we know where to go. GPS is pretty straightforward. And we know every single thing there is to know from an approach plate about an airport and about the approach itself. And the airplane knows how much fuel is on board. In fact, it knows the you know, wind speed, wind angle, corrections, all those things. In fact, we're all getting that through digital instrumentation. This is simply integrating all those things. And so in some ways, it's almost simpler to think of all those integrations instead of happening to lead to this outcome called Emergency Auto Land, instead of this whole new idea. And so much credit goes these incredibly smart folks at Garmin that have brought that into the marketplace, first at Cirrus in the Vision Jet and some other turbine aircraft. But again, we were the first in working closely with them and our own avionics engineering team to do all that and bring that into the piston. But I like to think of it as the integration and convergence of all those technologies now acting all in concert and together, Jeff, is the way I think about the capability of Emergency Auto Land.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm certainly not trying to quiz you on the absolute details of it, but just the idea that it does that. One quick kind of high level question is this all about airport access, or does the system have any options that help in the event you can't reach an airport?
You know, it mostly is about airport access. And maybe a better way to answer that question will say that Emergency Auto Land and CAPS are made to act in harmony. In fact, so much so that if Emergency Auto Land recognizes that it does not see a good outcome, and I have to be candid, and although I've been on the demonstration, it's remarkable to see the system and almost see the simplicity. The screens are now, they've reformatted and are talking to you about what's happening on board the airplane. But there is a part of the system that would say a safe landing, if I can use a term, coming to a complete stop safely on the runway is not assured. It recommends the use of CAPS. So wow. We have that uniqueness at Cirrus that would say, okay, if you can't get there, I think the way I like to answer your question is say, there's another system on board, and it's that red handle.
Yep.
Those screens, literally, you are going to be advised that is likely the best outcome and be able to make that decision. And again, even that is unique to Cirrus. But CAPS and Emergency Auto Land work together and in harmony.
I didn't realize that. And I know there's a lot of instruction. I think one of the things that is fascinating to me is that the system itself is so communicative to the passengers during the process.
Yes.
It's really quite fascinating. Tell me a little bit about that, because you mentioned, we saw a little bit in the video, right, about it even telling passengers to remain in the aircraft until the prop stops, like at all these things. Tell me a little bit about what went into that aspect, because that's kind of cool.
Well, the video does hint at this, but if I can be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and you know, as we like to say at Cirrus, if the plane breaks, pull the chute. If the pilot breaks, push the button. And so you and I certainly know what that means, but maybe that's actually important in another way here. If the pilot has become incapacitated, the person we might have been relying on to help us understand what's going on, to help us guide us through whether it's a warning situation, a caution situation, or my goodness, an emergency situation. If that pilot's not there to do that, how are we going to do that? And the way we're going to do that now is when you think of the screens that we use in airplanes today, I'm using the word reformat. Those are really just, you know, my words, Todd's words. They're now giving us instructions about either if there's something that I need to do, and we're talking about some of the safety things you were just referring to, it whether don't out of the airplane, seatbelts, we're about to land, all these sorts of things. But there's even things about radio communication. It's actually quite basic in a level. What those screens, we might think there's a lot of information that's complex when we're flying along, whether it's the 3D horizon predict. That's depicted there and instrumentation, radios and communication and navigation, all that. And in some ways it almost goes away. And these screens are now telling us, here's exactly what's happening. You have to assume that the people that we're conveying this information to don't otherwise know. And so that's the way to think about that. So I'll have to get my colleagues at Cirrus, Ivy McIver, just fantastic in program management for the entire SR platform. And she does an incredible demonstration, and maybe now we're all going to be at Oshkosh and we can demonstrate how the screens look and show you. But it's almost one of the most fascinating pieces in that, I guess the closing comment on this section is, we've taken something that could be so complex and so incredibly stressful, and you're trying to simplify it down to the most basic information that we need for folks on board that may not otherwise know to understand what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you're just saying don't panic and don't interfere. I mean, that's
don't
it. Panic. Keep yourself safe.
Don't interfere. There's even, I remember my time on demonstration a few years earlier on the Vision Jet. You know, there's even this simple large button, touch this to talk on the radio to air traffic control. I mean, almost like, you know, people that don't have any training whatsoever could say, boy, I can do that. And the way I think to think about that is the sort of thought process that we had along, again, with designing with Garmin. If we can make this like all the other technologies in our lives, of course, I'm talking about touchscreens. That was the whole, the birth, if you will, of G7, of bringing that touchscreen technology. When I make the cockpit and the cabin familiar as it is in the rest of our lives, that's easier, that's simpler, and you're reducing those number of operations, that's safer. You're taking that almost to its ultimate level in this emergency situation of only that information that those passengers need to know about what's happening. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the things that are unique about what you had to do on a piston aircraft. One of the things, and this was shown in the video, you you certainly have to control the throttle. I think one of the advantages in the Cirrus, of course, is that you don't have a prop separately to control in that regard. You have to control the mixture control, but you also get into things that I think wouldn't be obvious to absolutely everyone, which includes braking.
That's right. And going back to the throttle, you know, now we're kind of in the electromechanical world, as sophisticated as some of the turbine aircraft are, you know, FADEC, which means that you're just giving an input to a computer and now it's going to optimize that input to the engine of whatever you want to do. And that's one of those incredible advantages of an all turbine platform, especially one FADEC equipped. You don't have that on the piston airplane. So I have to think about that through more of an electromechanical sense. And that's exactly what that means. And don't want to get too complex here. That's why I said a moment ago, at this moment, you know, that's emergency use auto throttle only within this system to do exactly that. I mentioned a moment ago, too, again, back in the electromechanical world, you might not think of something as simple as, well, who told the airplane to put the flaps down to land? We need to do that. So, again, you've got another sort of activation. But you're exactly right. Bringing an airplane to a stop, sometimes I think that's probably less thought about. Critical on the airplane that I'm standing here tonight. These are heavier airplanes, but again, these pistons have to do the same thing. So it's one of the more complex and difficult things to do. And candidly, it was one of the places where we actually learned a lot about how to get back to the activation of our braking system and all of the way we build our brakes on the SR. Of course, that gear is fixed, and that actually creates some limitations. The wheel pants, the aerodynamics of those wheel pants, there's not a whole lot of space in there. There's a very low profile. That's how we get the performance in regular flying from the airplane, is things like that. Well, now we're actually working in some very small spaces to make those things work. And again, the team sits at fantastic work, but you're exactly right. The system has to tell the airplane to start braking, again, electromechanically, and that's exactly what happens, to activate those brakes and bring the airplane to a stop. So all of the same things are happening that happen in these more sophisticated turbines in the piston. It might just be happening in a slightly different way because it's a piston airplane and the system's in some cases simpler. They're lighter weight. Now, they may not be as large, but the outcomes are actually the same. It's almost the outcome is almost identical, bringing you to a safe stop on a runway, whether it's in the airplane I'm standing beside or these pistons now.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, without FADEC, that changes quite a bit. And those are some substantial challenges that you're able to overcome to get to where you are right now. I mean, that means to shut the engine off, you've got to move the mixture. It's easy to overlook something like that.
It is. And you're talking about some of the most sophisticated things. And again, you're also hinting at, there's people listening to this right now going, well, how do we make that available to me all day, every day? And I'm going, yep, we'd all love that too. And that's how you realize how complex and how challenging these things are. But you're exactly right. We've got to almost solve a problem that is sophisticated in a much simpler way. And that's what the team has done here. But to your point, we've got to, again, electromechanically, with the software, the convergence of that software telling, in some cases, smart servos or actuators, fuel control, fuel shutoff, all those things, got to tell those how to work. And so we've got to get those controls. And that's that sort of marriage or convergence of the software talking to those mechanical systems. That word mechanical somehow is the piston corollary word. It's not that that's not true in the jets or the turbines, but when you have systems like FADEC and so much more, in some cases, even the most sophisticated fly-by-wire systems, it truly is all digital. But we've had to actually marry those things together. And I think that's the magic and the accomplishment of getting it done on the piston itself.
Yeah. So let's talk as our time is kind of marching down here, is that this has two other directions that this can kind of go, that I'm curious about kind of what your thoughts are for the industry.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Free a little bit for yourselves, for Cirrus, whatever peak you're willing to give us. But one idea, of course, is where do you see this technology now going to others that are going to happen, how this is going to benefit the rest of the industry, how this is going to benefit the rest of the Cirrus line and the future of all of that. But then the other side of it, I think, is the question of where does this now go? Well, a lot of these technologies start out as emergency only. But you have now cracked the door open to all sorts of things that you can do to help people in regular flying. I can only imagine. I mean, it explodes of all the things from helping people with anti-lock braking and directional control on a runway. You name it. You could take the folks at Avemco and change their dynamic of what kind of claims they have with That's the technology right. that right now is only limited to emergencies.
Yeah, what you're hinting at is all true. And I'll say one big sort of yes to the ideas that you're saying. And that is that I think these you know, first and foremost, digital technologies that may have some electromechanical outcomes, but by and large, we're seeing the digital thread weaving throughout, not just the company, but through the airplanes themselves. And maybe I can add another way, you know, there's some companies out there that you've talked about before. It's Cloud Ahoy or Flystow or Foqua Data, quality assessment and landings. You're hinting at all of those things. I think the pace that those are collectively, including something like emergency auto land, all coming onto the airplane, I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, I will urge a little bit of caution and a little bit of halting in that getting them on the airplane reliably, safely certified. There's a reason there's a regulatory framework that we all live by, and it's very effective. It makes sure that all of them are always working the right way. And I think that's probably the part, Jeff, there's not a single owner, operator, or customer that hasn't said, Todd, I want to go higher, faster, farther, and carry more, and I want the airplane to be safer, and all those things. And even better, if you can do all that at a lower price, even better. Like, yeah, I got that. That Cirrus can lead and show an industry, if that's what we're doing, or maybe demonstrate or be willing to make the investments to say it can be better. I think we bring more people in, the people that are in continuing moving within the portfolio. So there's no doubt that what you've hinted at, what you're saying is happening. I can't necessarily say the pace across everywhere, but the advances in the most basic way, the advances in technology, the arenas that we're talking about are where these advances are coming the fastest. And I do think they're going to come to every part of aviation, including, if we're saying, the piston levels and even below. Yes, they are on the way. That march is on. At the end of the day, it's going to make us safer. To your point, I think it's going to have the capability I'll use lower premiums or make safer airplanes. I want to add to that the importance at Cirrus of the training itself. There's no substitute for that. And we spend as much time, effort, and energy investing in that training called approach and embark training for pre-owned and our vision jet type rating. Those things go hand in hand. But we want to see more of this in every airplane at Cirrus and through the entire industry. We are big supporters of that. We all win when that happens.
Yeah. And I think you only have to look at what's happened in the automotive industry to see that when you crack the door open to computer control, when you crack the door open to anti-lock brakes, to all these types of things, you start to have the things we have now, right? Your car brakes for you before you hit something. Your lane departure does stuff. Like, we've seen some of these things. The idea that it could be in the future for aviation is really fantastic. All you have to do is look at the NTSB reports and see, man, this stuff wouldn't happen with what you're doing in emergency situations.
Right. You know, that's the full circle moment right there. And let's go back to my grandfather's and those pictures. Imagine if they could see the kinds of things happening today. But not only the kinds of things, it's the conversation we're happening, that we're just on the front end of that. And that's the way we like to think of it at Cirrus. There has never been a better time to get in, to engage in personal aviation, to engage in flying, to engage in an industry that is just growing, and that every one of us have an opportunity. I mean, I think about that 23-year-old chain in front of that steerman, and boy, what would he be saying and going, man, thank you for you leaving us the 30, 40, 50 years since you did that. So that's what you and I are doing right now for the next one. So my guess is the exact same thing's going to happen. What's this conversation like in just a few years? It's the pace of this innovation that's just so amazing. And Cirrus is glad to be a part of it. And if leading it is what we're doing, we're glad to own that role too.
That is really, really wonderful to look forward to all of that. And I would be remiss if I did not address the 50 comments that have come in from people asking whether or not you have any plan to do this retroactively.
We do not have that plan right now. I knew I would get that question.
I don't blame you one bit, but you had to know that was coming.
I did know that was coming. You know, it's not a retrofit. It is very complex. To do that is, as you like to say, at minimum, major surgery. And to be able to do it is really outside the realm of where we are today. So that's a long way of saying we're not there yet. We'll keep contemplating that, but that's not an option for us right now.
Makes sense. Absolutely. Oh, well, that was, I'll tell you, that is just totally incredible. And Todd, with the remaining time that we have left, I do want to make sure, how would you feel about doing Social Flight's Fast Five here to get to know a little bit more about you?
Oh, man. All right. We'll see what happens. I'll be a guinea pig here. So let's do it.
Okay. So real quick, before we even get to this, I want to make sure, where does everybody go to get more information on the G7 Plus and all the work that's going on here at Cirrus?
It's exactly what you think. It's cirrusaircraft.com, and we want to engage with you, but boy, there's so much information to consume. We love sharing it. So if you jump over to cirrusaircraft.com, you'll get it all. And then without any effort, you want to be in touch with us, and including demo and in the airplane, we'll do that too. So come on in, come on over there and learn more about it.
Excellent. All right. Well, Todd Simmons, President of Customer Experience at Cirrus Aircraft. This now is your Social Flight Fast Five questions for people to get to know you just a little bit more. And I'm going to start with this amazing general aviation experience that you've got that spans the backcountry, the go fast, the flight levels, you name it. Out of all of this, what aircraft is it from your past that really is closest to your heart when you think about what you would, you know, what's going to be the aircraft, the last one you fly, the one you wanted to do at some moment?
You know, I probably answered that without knowing the question earlier on, but my Uncle Jerry's J3 Cub, there must be no way for that not to be it. And that I've got to continue Cub flying, that I got to be in that part of the industry. I did not know way back then that, boy, that's going to be an airplane that can take me wherever I want to go. But I also didn't know a hint that I've already hinted at, that I was going to connect a dot, that every airplane that I've had this incredible privilege to be a part of these two companies, they all actually started as rolls of fabric. So the J3 Cub has its rightful place, and there's that Cub flying, and that's not fair because somebody say, well, how is it not Cirrus? It is, but if I got to pick one in my past as the bright sun comes in here, it's probably going to be that J3 Cub. It started all of this in my life, and I'm grateful for it.
I love that. And you know, you pointed something else out, which I really like, which is it's all fabric. Even if you're talking about composite, it's all fabric. I love that. All right. Question number two of Social Flight Fast Five here is, in all of this flying and your many decades of experience here, was there a particularly scary or impactful moment in your life that you feel you really learned something from and take with you to this day with your aviation?
Oh, my goodness. That is an interesting question for me, because reality is, as so many people know probably watching this, and I'm more than happy to talk about it. We didn't have time tonight, but unfortunately, about 7 years ago, I was actually involved in an accident in the backcountry that was significant, to say the least, and there were significant injuries. And I'll say it this way. It certainly has shaped since then, even the next level thinking that I think about safety, that I think about professional flying, that I think about acumen. And so without a doubt, June 21st of 2018 is a day that I'll never forget. And in many ways, I think about it in all the flying that I do. And so it taught me a lot. I'm actually glad to be here because, and otherwise, the kind of accident I had that so many know is generally reliably fatal. It can be. So I got far closer to a place that I didn't want to be. And I've learned so much from that. And as I said, a different time and place, I'm more than happy to talk about the lessons that I learned and the decisions that I made and why I made some of those decisions and how they can help me and hopefully help others be a better pilot. So I have a great example, and that'll be a different video podcast that we'll get to do at a different time. And we can learn something from that. So
We'll have you back for that. All right. Question number three. If you could go briefly back in time, not to change anything, just to put yourself in some wonderful memory that you have and go back and re-experience that for a few minutes, what would that be?
Oh, man. Go back. I guess I'm going to have to choose the aviation part. I probably think of some of that original time with my family. There is this picture we have in the National Air and Space Museum, and we're standing collectively, and we ask a stranger there to take this picture of us standing in front of the Wright Flyer. And, you know, who knew how sort of iconic, what that might mean for us, that what those two brothers did way back then, it somehow just made this thing make sense of how important flying and aviation has been to so many generations of our family, and then my specific family in particular. As I like to say, I think it's one of the greatest blessings that I could have ever received. And it was something about that moment many years ago of standing in front of there in that picture. And I look back at that today, and it was just one shot at one time that probably no one else would have thought about. But it means so much to me because it represents what flying means. That you've given me the privilege to talk about tonight, of how important it is to my family and this place I get to be in this industry. So that one picture, that one moment, if I could relive that a few times, it just amplifies how important it all is.
I love that. All right, question number four. If you could go back in time and give some advice to your younger self, and either your teens or 20s or something, with where you are today, go back and talk to that young Todd. What would you say?
You know what? This one would be easy. And if my son were on here, he'd answer this question for you. And the answer would be go slow to go fast. Aviation has a funny way. You'd be surprised that as compelling, as exciting as it is, be patient within the way you're all approaching it. And as fast as information flows these days, and as instantaneous as everything is, and as stimulating as all that is, and as energetic and colorful, and we'll see this at Oshkosh. There's nothing that can replace it. But I would almost say to so many folks in aviation, to maximize all you do, whether it's learning to fly or a career or the time that you spend learning which part of aviation, I think actually going slow to soak it in is actually the way to go fast. So I'll be a little bit cliche and say, hey, Todd, slow down, take it all in, go slow to go fast, and you'll get wherever you need to go.
I love that. That's fantastic. All right. And our last question, number five of Social Flight's Fast Five. If you could choose anyone currently with us, no longer with us, famous or not, close to you, doesn't matter, to spend an evening with, who would that be?
Oh, my goodness. I was going to cheat and say two, and it might be cliche to say one of the Wright brothers. More recently, the thing that's been on my mind, and I might not be able to even name the right name, I've thought about what I think of this label of the greatest generation, and the role that aviation played in so many of those pilots of that era. I'm lucky to have some in background of my family. So I might not be able to name the name, but if I could talk to that B-17 or B-24 pilot or that P-51 pilot, that is a 22 or 23 or 24-year-old going to war and doing things that have given us the privilege, the freedom that we have today. But when I, you know, some of the popular, you know, series on TV right now and books and visiting with at Normandy, I look back at what those people did, and I think of my own life, and my goodness, when I think of the age they were and what they went and did by way of aviation and how they used that, that shape the course of this country. It's one of them I want to go talk to, but I want to go talk to them then when they're that age and going, my goodness, what is going through your mind as you strap on that P-51 or you're headed to Normandy or you're in those bombers and you're doing those incredible things. That's the last several months and even years, that's been on my mind more and more about what those young kids did. We owe them so incredibly much. And we're just about to the place where there's none of them left. I'd love to go back and talk to one of them.
What a fantastic answer. I absolutely love that. Well, Todd, thank you so much for taking time to join us this evening here on Social Flight Live. We just barely scratched the surface of so much that we could cover, and I hope you'll come back where we can talk about your experience, the accident that you had, and sure, and so much else.
I would be glad to. The sun seems to have gone down and brightened behind me here while we've been talking, and so maybe that's the signal that time is passing. But I want to thank you and thank the audience that's joining tonight for letting me be a part of it and let me share just part of the story, and thank everyone that participates in aviation that the way that you all do. We're all grateful for it, and I really appreciate being with you this evening.
You got it. I look forward to seeing you at Oshkosh.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good night.
Everybody, stay safe. Good night.
And to all of you, thank you so much for everything that you do to support general aviation and for joining us here tonight on Social Flight Live. We'll be back next Tuesday on our Cockpit to Cowl show with Brian Schiff. On that show, we're going to be talking about fuel mysteries and management, all sorts of cool things, whether it's a new unleaded fuels, whether it's managing fuel, whether it's dealing with fuel issues in your aircraft, planning, you name it. We're going to cover it with Brian Schiff. Again, that is Tuesday, July 8th. To register for that show, it is different. Go to Cockpit, the number 2 and the word cowl, cockpit2cowl.com. And we'll see you next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Tuesday, July 15th, we're back right here on Social Flight Live with astronaut Hoot Gibson. Oh, my God. The famous test pilot, flew 5 shuttle missions. He is one of the most amazing individuals you can spend time with. I spent a fair amount of time with him, and I can tell you, I cannot wait for this show. So please join us again for that show at Social Flight Live, Tuesday, July 15th. And until next time, hopefully we will see you at Oshkosh walking around the show. We'll have some swag for you. And until next time, thank you all, and I wish you all blue skies.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.